from the Lord's perspective, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So we're almost home. It doesn't matter what age you are. If you're a child of God, you're almost home. Some of us have been down the road a little bit longer, and we may be closer than you are, or the Lord may come back today, and we're all almost home. But I'm thankful that we have that hope. I'm thankful that we got that assurance. One day, all the burdens of life, all the difficulties of life, all the sadness of life, those are going to be a thing of the past, and we'll be able to enjoy what God has prepared for us today. Appreciate the good song. If you want to turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to be taking my reading from that sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. This reading is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. More specifically, it's teaching about prayer. What I'm about to read is often called the Lord's Prayer because he gave it to the disciples there. And I believe Jesus gave it to us today as a pattern for prayers, not necessarily to be our prayer, but to show us some things, to show us our need to praise God, to pray for his work that's being done in the world today, to pray for our daily needs and to pray for help in our daily struggles. So let's begin reading in verse 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, begin reading verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day, I missed that, let me back up. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that's the words that Jesus spoke to us there. I'm going to take a text from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 8. And in Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 8, this is what we find recorded. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. My sermon title this morning is Our Father. So far this morning in our service, we have lifted up the Lord through song. We have lifted up the Lord through prayer. We've lifted him up through our Sunday school lesson that we shared today. My desire is that I seek to honor him through the Word of God this morning and the message that he has given me to share with all of you today. I'm so thrilled to look out this morning to see this good number in service with us today. It blesses my heart to see families sitting together, fathers sitting with children of all ages. And it's just a blessing for me to be able to see that. Last month, we honored our mothers on Mother's Day, and it's fitting that we also have a special day to honor our fathers as well. Today, it's a national holiday that we celebrate, but it's also scriptural because it's clearly expressed in the Ten Commandments in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus in the 12th verse. It says to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it's scriptural that we honor our mothers and our fathers. Brothers and sisters, I believe that family structure is ordained by God. And as we think about history, I believe that the family was the first institution that was formed on this earth. God created the first man, and he created the first woman. And I believe that Adam and Eve were brought together as man and wife. The Bible tells us that Eve bore a son whose name was Cain. And it tells us that soon after that bore another son whose name was Abel. And I believe by this means, brothers and sisters, the first family was formed, created as the most important institution, as the foundation of all human life and the development that has followed. Now, I know the world wants to debate that today. I know that they want to make it something else. But I believe that this is the only physical way that family happens, the way that God prescribed it in the world. It's the family that forms the community. It's the family that forms society and governments of our nations. It's not enough just for man and woman to exist. I think we understand that. Men and women must become, if possible, fathers and mothers. And if they don't obey the command of the Lord to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth, think about it for a minute. Every human eventually would cease to exist. There wouldn't be any more. The family, the father, the mother, the children, most important institution. And I believe as the family goes, there also goes the society in which we live today. The point is that every generation must give attention to the family and to strengthen it if the human race is to survive. Brothers and sisters, if we don't strengthen our families, if we don't strengthen them for our generation and for the future generation, I hate to say it, but the future looks grim. The very survival of our society and our civilization, I believe it depends on strong families, upon fathers and upon mothers and children who have respect and who honor one another, and most importantly, that honor and respect God. And I think we are seeing the effects of weak families in homes in our community all around us. In this passage that I read, I believe Jesus' prayer, I believe it contains some lessons for fathers and for families today. And the Lord's Prayer speaks of our Heavenly Father. In verse 9, as I read, Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven." And brethren, as earthly fathers, I believe that we need to recognize and we need to learn from our Heavenly Father. The scriptures are very clear. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved. We know that God is of love because He so loved. It goes on to say He loved the world. Verse 26 in that same chapter of Matthew tells us that he cares. He cares. Listen to what verse 26 said. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Verse 34 tells us He longs to take away our fears. Jesus said in verse 34, "Take therefore thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." For God to be our Father, we need to be the children of God. I think that's it's simple. But the question is, how do we become the children of God? Fathers, are you children of God? Those that are gathered here, are you children of God? We become the children of God, the scripture tells us, by faith. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves." He tells us that it's the gift of God. John stated in John chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name." Fathers that are gathered here today, what I'm getting at this morning is we not only need to appreciate our Heavenly Father's care that He exhibits toward us, but we need to learn from His example, and we need to apply what it is that we learn from His example to our families. The Lord's Prayer, it speaks about our future. He said in verse 10, Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Brethren, our tomorrows are all safe with the Lord. If you're like me, I get tired of all the crime that I see going on in our world today. I get tired of all the violence that I see going on. I get tired of all the sorrow that I see in this world today. And I'm thankful this morning that I know our Heavenly Father has planned better times for our future. Even it can happen in this life, but most assuredly, it's going to come later in life. How do we experience the better times in life? Well, the commandment from Exodus chapter 20 set forth one of the bases. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we're told, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Ultimately, we know that the Lord has planned better times eternally for all of those who are His children. That's right, as the song says, that heavenly home will surely be mine. I know that. I believe that. Because of the experience that I had in salvation with the Lord, we'll be the recipients of that mansion that John talked about in the 14th chapter of John. We'll enjoy the promises that John recorded in Revelation chapter 21 when he said, in that place there'll be no tears and there'll be no more death and there'll be no more sorrow and there'll be no more pain. Best of all, we'll be with our Savior. Our eternal future, brothers and sisters, is bright. As the song said, we're almost home. We've still got some things to do in this life yet until the Lord is finished with us individually or He collectively comes back to get us, but our eternal future is bright. I want you to notice something else the Lord's Prayer speaks about. It spoke about food. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Fathers, as we gather here today for Father's Day, we understand we are generally perceived as being the breadwinners in the family. And I want to pause right there and say thank you to all the spouses that also work and contribute to the households for the things that are needed. But again, it saddens my heart this morning that sometimes it doesn't just sadden me, sometimes it makes me mad when I hear about children that are going hungry right here in our own community because parents are selfish and because they're lazy. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but if they provide not for his own, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What is Paul saying? He's saying if a person, whether it be a father or whether it be a mother, neglects their family responsibility, they shouldn't even call themselves a Christian. That's how serious the role is of a parent. Fathers, if we profess to be Christians, as men of God, our Heavenly Father provides for our daily sustenance. He really does. That's the message in that chapter 6, verse 25 through 33. I'm not going to take time to go over and read that, but you can read that on your own. But here's the thing. We've got to do our part. God has told us what He will do, but fathers, we've got to do our part. God is the one who gives us the strength. God is the one who gives us the ability and the skills to be able to work. And he blesses us with the provision of jobs and with income. But we've got to get out there and we've got to take advantage of what God has given us because He's given it to us that we might be able to labor with purpose. And the reason that we labor with purpose is so that we can take care of our families, that we can take care of them by the grace of God. As we look at this Lord's Prayer, we can see that it speaks about forgiveness. Verse 12, Jesus said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen this morning, our Heavenly Father forgives. 1 John 1 and 9 expresses it as well as any other verse in the Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, fathers, we're to follow the example of the Lord. We need to be forgiving people. All of us do, but fathers, we need to be forgiving people. People we know, even our children, don't always do and they don't always act as we think that they should. But the message of God is that we should forgive others, that we should forgive them. Why? Because God demonstrated forgiveness to us, didn't He? He forgave us of our sins when He saved our soul. And if we're going to follow the example that the Lord has given, we've got to be forgiving too. It's amazing to me how many people hold grudges against other people. It's amazing to me how many people aren't even speaking to members of their own family. They're not following the example of Jesus in forgiveness. And I believe we need to do that. That's the instructions of God's Word. The Lord's Prayer speaks about our freedom. In verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Those of you that were here last Sunday, I preached about temptation. And I hope that you remember the message of how yielding to temptation brings bondage. When we yield to temptation, we are in the bondage of the sin that we commit. But fathers, I understand that we face temptations every day around every corner of this life. But I want you to understand this, that we can be encouraged today because our Heavenly Father limits temptation's power. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13, listen to what Paul said. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Fathers, there's too much at stake. Always look for the way out. Always look for the way out to avoid the attacks of Satan. Let me tell you, he's doing everything that he can to tear down the family. And I'll tell you what, one of the best places he starts is with the father. The one who is supposed to be the leader of the family. The one who is supposed to set the example for the family. And if he can tear down that father where he's not committed to the role and the responsibility that God has called him to, we can see what's happening to families today and what it means in our society. Brethren, I'm thankful today to know that our Heavenly Father is eternal. I'm glad this morning that I know that what God, He's everlasting. But according to the Scriptures, based on the plan of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also get to be eternal. We also get to be everlasting. See, the Lord is concerned about where we spend eternity. You ever think about that? You ever think about the Lord being concerned about where you spend eternity? I'm not just talking to fathers right now. I'm talking to mothers. I'm talking to children. I'm talking about everybody in the house of the Lord today. The Lord is concerned about where you spend eternity. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and He gave His life for every single person that you might be able to experience the glorious gift of salvation and avoid the pits of hell and spend eternity with God. He cares about you. He proved that to you when He sent His only begotten Son. We got to be right with the Lord. Fathers, moms, I know it's Father's Day, but moms, we got to be right with the Lord. And when I mean right with the Lord, I mean right with Him in our hearts through a salvation experience. If you've got that, that's the beginning. If you don't have that, you need that. You need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to meet the responsibilities and carry the burdens for your children, you need to be right with the Lord. And I'm thankful that the Lord has provided a path for every person to come to Him and for every person to be saved. Fathers, I wonder, do your children see the Heavenly Father's love in you? Do they see the Heavenly Father's love through you? Fathers, do you care about the eternal welfare of your children? Getting a little personal now, preacher, aren't you? Yeah, I guess I am. Justin and Hadley already know. I've already told them. I'm already praying for Inman's soul. But pastor, he's only a couple weeks old. Well, I know that. But one day, he's going to reach the age of accountability if the Lord lets the world stand. And one day, he's going to need the Savior. And I'm praying for that family. And I'm praying for your families, that we realize how important the souls of our children is, so that we give them every opportunity to be exposed to the gospel, so that they know how to respond to the gospel when the Lord pricks their heart and they realize that they're separated from the Lord. My text this morning again said, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8, "But now, O Lord, thou art the Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hands." See, Isaiah confessed that God was their Father. He was the potter, and they were the clay, the work of his hands. For this reason, they owed him their very lives. All they were and all they had, they owed to the Lord. He was the Father, and they were the children. As children, they were duty bound to obey the Father. His instructions were for their good. The instructions that he gave was to protect them. The instructions that were given was to keep them safe. He longed to give them some sound guidelines for living victorious lives and conquering all the trials that confronted them. Fathers, we serve the same Lord today. If we'll look to and if we will follow the Lord, he will guide our lives, enabling us then to guide the lives of our families. He'll help us to be the husbands that he called us and commanded us to be in Scripture. He'll help us to be the fathers that we need to be, or perhaps maybe the grandfathers or great-grandfathers that are amongst us here today that we need to be. I desire that. I want that. My son Adam is grown, and he has a family of his own. But you know what? He still needs his dad. It might be a phone call about some kind of electrical thing he's involved in. Dad, I need help. He might be working on the lawnmower and say, Dad, I need some help. He might be struggling with some pressures at work, and he'll call me and say, Dad, this is what's going on. What do you think I should do? He'll call me sometimes and say, Dad, the pastor asked me to conduct the Wednesday night service. Can you help me out? He's a Sunday school superintendent. He'll call me sometimes and he says, Dad, I need a devotional for Sunday school. He don't got a book. They make them up as they go through the Word of God. They don't have a Sunday school book that they use. He says, Dad, I'm looking for something. Got any ideas? And I do my best to suggest a few things here and there for him. He may be 40 years old, but he still looks to his dad. I'm 64 years old. My dad is 85 years old, and I still look to my dad. I still look to him, and I'll call him and say, Dad, I'm working on an electrical project. How do you fix this? It's never the one that Adam wants, though. I'm not going that way with it, but I still need dad. And I still love Dad. As Adam's father, I want to be there for him. I want to have the wisdom needed to be able to help him. And I'm sure that all of you fathers that are in the congregation or out in the parking lot today, I'm sure you experience the same things that I do with my son, and you experience those same things with your children. Doesn't matter how old they get, we always want the best for them, don't we? We want them to be successful in life. We want them to achieve what they can achieve in life. but not at the expense of a relationship with the Lord. We want them to have the Lord in their life too. We want them to understand that anything they've got, anything they've achieved is because of the blessings of God that God has blessed them with. And we want them to be able to understand that. And, you know, no matter how old they get, we'll always be their fathers. We'll always be clay. I don't know about you, but as old as I am, I still want to be molded. I still want to be shaped by the Lord. I still want to be better in the things that God has called me to do and be as, well, all facets of my life, as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as a ampa. You know, I want him to continue to mold me. We should desire to be daily molded by God. We are, as the scripture said, the works of his hands. And I believe that's ongoing until we take our breath, take our last breath. Fathers that are gathered here, I want you to know that God will grant our needs if we will follow the example that we see in the instruction of his word. And again, in the instruction that we can even see in the Lord's Prayer this morning. My prayer is that the Lord will bless you. My prayer is that the Lord will bless your families. I am thankful for the godly men and examples that we see week in and week out here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church. I want to encourage you, continue to let your light shine. Continue to show your family and show those that you work with and those around you that you are a godly man and that you put your faith and trust in the Lord to help you to be that father that God intended you to be. I want to encourage you in that. Several have brought pictures off to the side here. We always encourage at Mother's Day and Father's Day, if your father has passed on and can't be with us anymore, or maybe they just can't be here for whatever reason, to bring a picture. And these were the godly men in the lives of those of you that are sitting here today. And what a blessing that is. And I pray that everybody will have a good Father's Day. And we've got a ritual that we do for Father's Day. But before we do that, Brother Myron, if you'd come, I want to have a verse of song before I get to the next step here of handing those out. Some of you that are here today, you can do something that I can't do. Some of you that are here today get to receive something that I can't receive today. And just like we did on Mother's Day, I want to stand and I want to have a song. And it doesn't matter to me how old you are or how young you are, but if your father, if your dad, your pops, I don't know what you call them. My dad's got several names in our family. I've always called him Dad. My brother's always called him Pops. But he answers to all of those things. But if your father is here today, while we sing this song, just step out of the pew. Just hug their neck. Tell them Happy Father's Day. Tell them you love them. That'll mean more to them than any gift that you could ever give them for Father's Day. And it's a blessing to be able to do that. Some of us are here today. And, of course, like my son's away, and he couldn't be with me today. But there are others like me and like Brother Gary and others that are here today that our sons are no longer here. Thankful for the testimony that they left. We know where they're at. And according to God's word, we're going to be together again someday. But I'll be honest with you, I'd give anything if Josh could come and put his arms around my neck and hug me one more time and tell me, I love you, Dad. But that's not possible today. For some of you, it's possible today. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't worry about who's looking, who's not looking. Give Dad a hug. Tell him you love him. Let's stand together. Let's sing.